Okay, so we're on the top of page Hey. So last time we saw that Chaim Vital was telling us that although obviously Pinyas HaTorah, is very very chashuv as he's been talking about, but the process in order to truly absorb the light of Pinyas HaTorah healthfully comes with an anchoring and a background in Niglas HaTorah. So that's what we saw until now. So he's going to continue with that again on page Hey, top of page Hey. Ashezelin by the first line. Ashezelin in Amrei v'Maimer HaUanal, and this is what the Zohar means in that original statement that we saw that the Hakdama started with is El Shina. That's what the Zohar said. The Ilan Inan Da'avni LaRaisa Yevesha. The original taina of the Zohar was to people that are anchored in Nigla, and then to them the taina is that you have to then move on to also be involved in Pinyas HaTorah, as he said, for the sake of the Shechina, the Torah Lishma, and so on. In other words, that Talmud Chacham who is learning Torah Lishma, for loy Lishma ilasas leshem, is not just interested in self gain and so on. Person has to first be involved in Nigla, Chumash, Mishnayis, Talmud, and so on, as much as his mind can tolerate. In other words, doesn't mean in order to start convenience you have to be the Rajva, you know. But whatever level, like we saw yesterday, you quoted the lesson from the Rambam, that a person has to fill their belly with meat and wine. So what does it mean to fill the belly with wine? It means you have to know all of Shas first, and all of Shas you have to know it like Ruchaim Brisker. Like, what does it mean a belly? What does it mean to fill your belly with wine? So the truth is obviously just like physically, right? Every belly is different sizes.
My stomach, it's a work in process.
Exactly. So it just, and again, how do you know exactly? It's hard to know exactly. It's not a specific quota of learning, but it's to the point of where a person is anchored in Nigla, and goes without saying a person's God fearing and keeping all of Torah mitzvahs and mice of Merubim Chachmasa, his actions are more than his wisdom, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. That's anyway a prerequisite for everything you should always do more than you know, so to speak, however you get that done. But point is to be anchored in Mitzvah Maisius and to be a Yari Shemaim, and then a person can go into Pinyas HaTorah and so on in the right way. But again, it doesn't mean a person has to know. That's what he's saying. Kefima Sheyuchal Sich Lilizbol, to whatever degree their mind is able to grasp. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be the greatest mind in the generation.
What is the idea of the 40 and also like that now it's a lot more
accessible, right? Yeah. So I guess we could take this opportunity for a few minutes. I have to leave at 10:15. But so it's like, I'm sorry.
I know until we ended up yesterday.
Yeah. You know, it's a good thing. I just go for the reminder. So the thing is, like, I guess we could take a step back. Originally, it's good. We rather went through this. I think maybe the first. Not the first Shavuos night, but a few Shavuos nights ago, we went through this limud, sort of the history of Pinyas HaTorah. And so, Bekitzer Nimrutz, when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah in Har Sinai, he gave it Nigla and Nistar. And that was, and that's something that every Jew received and every Jew learned, and there was nothing held back. Nothing held back. Nigla and Nistar together. That's how it was by from Har Sinai. And all the Baalei HaMesorah, from Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, Lizakanim, V'chul, the Nevi'im, and all that, all the way until mid by Yesheni. It was Nigla and Nistar together. Every one of the members of the Baalei HaMesorah gave over Torah and was responsible for the upkeep of Torah, both in Nigla and in Nistar. What language they used for Pinyas HaTorah then, it might not have been the language of the Arizal and those terminologies. It might have been more of like Shir Shirimdik, of using like poetic, Lashonis like Shir Shirim. But everything was Nigla and Nistar together. At the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says in Chagiga, Mishar Robo HaPritzim, that once different sects of Yidden began to develop and different breakoffs, and Yerushalayim just went down. So because of that, Chazal instituted this idea, and obviously it's rooted in Daraisa, like the Pasuk says, Shemen Udvash Tachas L'Shoincha, something like the Pasuk says that you should keep secrets like within. So the concept of being ultra sensitive to the Pinim Satira was always there, but it wasn't, there was no these, but the rules and regulations of like holding it in and you're not allowed to teach a barabim and only a few people, none of that was established until the second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, Mishra Rabba HaPritzim, that's when Chazal instituted these rules and regulations of holding in Pinim Satira and not speaking about it publicly and not teaching it publicly. Ad Kedei Kach, where it deteriorated, that's what the Mishnah says, that initially the Kahanim were the ones that were, so to speak, the guards of, just like they're the guards of the Beis HaMikdash, they're the guards of secrets of Torah. And when the Mishnah says that the Kahanim, at some point in the second Beis HaMikdash, were not allowed to say the Shem HaMefarish out loud, right? The Kohen Gadol, he said it quietly as other, you know, so that's, you know, that's not a mashal, that's also what happened, but that's also indicative of what was going on, that Shemes HaKadoshim, the secrets of Torah, was now being held within. Ad Kedei Kach, it deteriorated to such a degree where the Mishnah says in Chagiga, Chazal established the rule that Maaseh Merkava can only be taught biyachid and Maaseh Breishis, like all these rules and regulations. That's not the way it was from Har Sinai. That was an institution from Chazal in the second Beis HaMikdash. Based on that, the Zohar Kaddish says that as you get closer to Mashiach, that rule, that takana of Chazal will be alleviated, and as you get closer to Mashiach, Pinim Satar will become more widespread and will become more able to be learned by everybody. With the way I'm saying it right now, and to appreciate the chiddush of the way I'm saying it, because this answers a kasha that many Acharonim had, which is, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to teach Pinim Satar Barabim. So the Zohar predicts that before Mashiach comes, it'll become public. Yeah, but the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it. So the Mishnah, so maybe the Zohar is predicting that people are going to be doing the wrong thing. You know, it doesn't sound like that from the Zohar. It sounds like Rishon is pro it becoming more widespread. Bichlal, you have this in history from the Arizal on, really, you know, to publish a Kabbalah Sefer maybe is also a violation of the Mishnah. So how does it work? So that's the reason why I'm saying it like this, is that the institution of the Mishnah was a later institution by the second Beis HaMikdash because of the deterioration of Yerushalayim. And because of that, we do find this model in certain takanas from Chazal. I'll give an example. The Ezra HaSofer made a takana, something called Tfilas Ezra. What's Tfilas Ezra? Not Tfilah of Davening. Tfilah like Vitaivel and Mikveh. Tfilas Ezra means Ezra was Messiah. Ezra, beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash already. Ezra was Masakin. Then anyone that sees carries its Tamei, you're not allowed to daven or say any words of Torah until you go to the Mikveh. And that was instituted by Ezra Seifer. Ezra Beis Dinai. All of a sudden comes the Gemara Brachas. And the Gemara Brachas has a whole, it's about a blot and a half or so of the Gemara Brachas, where it talks about maybe in this situation it's mutter, maybe this situation it's okay, maybe just for learning, not for davening, not for all different things. Maybe Kriyishma you can say, Ad Kedei Kach, that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma, it's completely fine, you don't have to do, you know, there's no Tefillas Ezra. So ask the Rishayim. I don't know, Ezra was Masakinit. So how could a later Bezdin, what's the debate? Ezra was Masakinit. So many Rishonim say that when Ezra was Masakinit, you're right, when Bezdin makes a Takana, no other later Bezdin can annul it unless they're greater than the original Bezdin, which is not going to happen. So, but there is the following scenario, that Ezra was Masakin this Takana with a stipulation that later Batei Dinim can abolish it. Because he understood that this...
When do we know that the cause like that and not like that?
That's a tradition. You're not going to know that for sure. But that's part of the tradition. But that's how the Rishonim, most Rishonim explain, that's what was going on with Ezra Seifer, that he instituted his takana knowing that this is something that might have to change. The reason why this takana in particular, on a simple level, is because it might be too difficult at some point, and it might cause people to... You know, his intention was that it should be Mechazei Kedushas HaBris. But it might backfire and weaken davening and learning. So knowing that potential, so he established that later Bezdin can rethink it. It's the same thing over here. If the Zohar is telling us that before Mashiach comes, this institution of holding back from Yusuf Torah is not going to be kept anymore. That's basically saying the Rav Shimon's tradition was that when the takana was made, it was made conditionally, that this is not going to be, it's going to lighten up the ikus of the Mashiach. Do we have an official bet? Listen, by takana says, so you had Rav Yudah ben Bessei. Rav Yudah ben Bessei got up and said, finished. Okay, we don't have that moment in time. But throughout Jewish history, you sort of see collectively what Klal Yisrael feels intuitively, and the tzaddikim of every generation sort of feel that way. And so therefore, the reason why it was instituted was because of a lack of Yerushalayim. So you're telling me the Yerushalayim got better? No, if anything, it got worse. But Hagufa, it's so bad that now the only Eitzah that we have is to reveal Pinyin Satar, because that's the greatest weapon in the arsenal against the Sitra Achra. That's one way to think of it. Another way to think of it is, yeah, listen, Yerushalayim B'chitzonis is getting worse. We also are getting closer to Mashiach, so we have to begin to prepare for that. But the point is that is an important insight, is that this holding back of Pinyin Satara was really just an institution of the second Beis HaMikdash, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. That's number one. Number two, there's also Chiddush Merav Tzadik, we've mentioned this before, which is... Huh? No, this is just what seems. But Rav Tzadik says something else. Rav Tzadik says that the institution of holding back Pnimi Satira, Rav Tzadik says anything that you can teach or learn intellectually is not sight. It's just very hard nigla, but it's not sight. Like, okay, what's the difference between Kisvei Ari, which need a lot of preparation to learn, and Yevamos, which you need for, like, what's the difference? Says Ritzak, there is no difference. Anything that you could learn, like from a sefer, that's called nigla. Okay, it's more mysterious nigla. It's more esoteric nigla. It's nigla.
The first thing that you're saying is that it could be mussar to another person, because you're really uprooting, meaning that it could be given over to another person. I mean, Ritzak is saying that it can't be given over. But what you're saying is that it...
The first shot?
The Mashiach, yeah.
Yeah, Nechanami.
Able to be meister, yeah, through the text.
Yeah, yeah. Nechanami. But Rav Tzadik says, therefore, the anything that can be learned is anyway not side. Elamai, what side? Side is the experience of Elikus, which somehow, in some way, a tzaddik can give over to his chassidim. That was what Chazal instituted. Don't do the level of Meisim Merkava revelation. Don't do that unless it's to one individual, Meisim Bereishis to other people. And so says Rav Tzadik, that's anyway, like, you know, we're not going to be a violation of that. So there's another, again, I'm giving you the reasons why it's Mutter Rizman. Again, reason number one is because the whole institution was at the Kanamid Rabbanim that stipulated until Ikvas of the Mashiach, number one. Number two, Sisrei Torah, what Sisrei Torah truly is, cannot be given, is not being given over in the way that we learn it, unless it's being experienced. And when it's experienced, it's mistam experienced within yourself, in which case you're not in violation of any rule of teaching Pinyin Satar, number two. And number three, the whole inyan, and there's also a big pashat yisai, that the only reason why, the only institution, the takan of holding back Pinyin Satar is mitzad Talmud Torah. In terms of, if a person's learning Pinyin Satar for the purpose of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so in the hierarchy of Talmud Torah, learn nigla first. And Adarabba, maybe Pinyin Satar should not be spread and taught v'chulu v'chulu. But if a person's learning, but there's two sides to learning. There's learning for the sake of Talmud Torah, and there's learning for the sake of knowing how to keep mitzvahs. The Mishavur writes in his introduction that when the Gemara says you should learn Mashlev Chachafetz, or you should learn what the yeshiva tells you to learn, says the Chavetz Chaim, that's only true when you're learning for the sake of learning. So if I'm just sitting and learning anyway, so what should I learn first? I don't know, so learn brachas first, chafes. But says the Chavetz Chaim, but if you don't know Hilcha Shabbos, then you have to learn Hilcha Shabbos, not because it's a Mesechta in Shabbos. You have to learn Hilcha Shabbos from the kind of mitzvah of Shabbos. And that's number one. I mean, your first obligation is to keep mitzvahs. In order to keep mitzvahs, right, you have to learn Torah in order to be able to keep mitzvahs properly. So says the Chavetz Chaim, that type of learning comes before anything else, because that's not part of that. That's not a hierarchy in Talmud Torah. That's mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah called Achdus Hashem. There's a mitzvah called Ahavas Hashem. There's a mitzvah called Yiras Hashem. There's a mitzvah called Vegas Hashem. There's a mitzvah that's called Davening. if a person finds themselves in a generation or in a particular situation that they cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem, Yiras Hashem, without Pnimus HaTorah, then the reason why you're learning Pnimus HaTorah is not for Talmud Torah. You're doing it in order to be a mitzvah, which is mutl upon you regardless. So then you have the rule of the Chavetz Chaim, which is that's not a matter of a hierarchy, what to do. You have a chiyav of Amunah, you have a chiyav of Achdus Hashem, to believe in Achdus Hashem. What does it mean, Achdus Hashem? So in the earlier generations, the situation was, they didn't need Pnimus HaTorah to, on their level, fulfill that. But if a person finds themselves unable to fulfill the mitzvah of Havas Hashem and Yiras Hashem without Pnimus HaTorah, then you're learning Pnimus HaTorah not for Talmud Torah's sake. You're learning in order to be kind of the mitzvahs that are upon you, that you're being mavatal every single day. So that's not negotiable. Chazal would never held that back. That's not the point.
This is all also a good response to, let's say, what it says in Shulchan Aruch of all the Gedarim to enter the Pardes.
Yeah, I'm saying these are the three. I think we said three. These are the three basic reasons why things are a little bit different nowadays. And then you have the 40 years old. Those are menhagim that were established in certain communities. That's already not from Chazal. That's already. But again, with this all being said, Chaim Vital is still telling us that the proper approach, just like learning Yevamis, you need introductions. So, you need introductions. The introduction is to be anchored fully in Nigla first, and then to go there. Are there situations where a person has to be Isaac in Pnimus HaTorah first because it's like a Shas Adcha? Because otherwise their Yerushimayim and their Havas Hashem is so deteriorating they have no choice? Of course. Of course it's such a thing. Like, the normal thing is to sit down and to, when you have a meal, is to make hamaitzi, to eat first and then to drink. But there's such a thing. A person is very thirsty, so you have to drink first before you eat. You know, it's just the way. So if a person, in a normal way, it's nigla and then nister, and, you know, v'chuluchu. But there's a shasad chak. If there is a shasad chak, then you have to do it. But again, it has to be with God. Just like with a little kid, you're not going to, a fifth grader, the first day where he learns Gemara, the first day he's introduced to Gemara, so you throw him... a chasen shas yevamis with a big kaivitz, and it's like, here, God, he's never going to learn Gemara again. So, right? So you can't do that. So you have to do a seichel. You have to do a seichel. And that's something that, that's something that definitely needs guidance. There's a lot of people out there that maybe for their kiyum hamitzvahs need to be introduced to Pnimus HaTorah, but they have to be introduced to Pnimus HaTorah from a healthy way, from people or someone that understands the system properly and is rooted in Nigla himself, and like that's it's a challenge. But what you don't want is there to be this disconnect, and it's like a disconnect between the Hamayin Am that can't sit down to eat because they're dying of thirst, and the Manhigim who have such big bellies that they're still trying to fill their bellies with basar v'yayin, which is fine as an individual, but, you know, katanata beinecha, roi shifta yisrael ata, and you have no choice but to be madrich yidin. So it's a challenge, but, la'am and yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us leaders.
An hour in the morning and an hour at night to learn.
I'm sorry?
If a person has an hour in the morning and an hour at night to learn, what should he...
Mashlivcha chavit. Mashlivcha chavit. Right? What's the famous ma'aseh yisrael salata, right?
How do we rehab the guys that do for the guys? Me, like the guys that did it for Kima Mitzvahs first. Like how do we like now get into Nigla?
Well, yeah, listen, Kol Yisrael is cautious. Everything is, a person can't expect anything to be easy. Everything's an avoda, but you have to, hopefully, if Pnimus HaTorah did its thing, it sensitized the person to be all in on what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants. And what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants is Dira Tachtonim. And Nigla is a major part of that. So, but listen, everything takes a Kabbalah Sol. You know, everything requires that Kabbalah Sol. But it's important. It's important to know that, like, you know, to be flexible. You know, there's different Moichen, there's different Tekufas. There's Meichen and there's Tekuvas of Pnimius, there's Meichen and Tekuvas of Nigla. That's true in learning, that's true in life. And a person has to be flexible. There's nothing You know, where a Nevir Hashem is someone that you know would like to be chosen for a particular mission, a particular space to occupy. But the real Nevir Hashem is just, you know, wherever, like, you know, like is Hashem's weapon, like shooting point, wherever, you know, wherever you need me to go, I'll go. That's, yeah, that's what it is. So that's what so Torah learning has to be like that too. They say from the Vilna Gaon that he said that that's what, you know, what they say about the Vilna, I don't know, half these stories. He said that, supposedly he said that, you know, every single day when he starts to learn, it's an avayda. Once he starts learning, then it goes. But it's an avayda. So it's with Kabbalah soul. But a person that's in the Bashgacha Pratis, sometimes, you know, listen, the Kisviari, we find such a thing. You know, avaydis Hashem, we have to misak and chitzainis and pnimis. So B'derech Klal, every single day of the week and so on, and Shabbos, the usual model is Chitzonius first and then Panemius. That's how it is. You have four parts, being Mesak and Chitzonius, going to the bathroom, going to the bathroom, and Tzitzis, Tefillin Shliyat, Tefillin Sharosh, those four things, and then you're Isaac in the Tikkun of Panemius, which is Karbanos, Kriyishma, Karbanos Pesukah Dezimra Kriyishma and Shmona Esrei. So first Chitzonius and then Pnimius. Same thing with Shabbos. First there's Kabbal Shabbos, which is in Chitzonius, then it's Meir, which is Pnimius. So that's the usual model. That's Nigla and then Nister. There is an exception to that. Ironically, it's the beginning of creation, which is Rosh Hashanah. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is in Pnimius, and the second day of Rosh Hashanah is in Chitzonius. So the point is the result. Okay. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has a way of fearing the Velt. You know, what you expect is not always the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo is. So some Yidden are Rosh Hashanah, you know, so their Mahalach has to be Pnimius and then Chitzainis. Most Yidden are the other way, which is Chitzainis and then Pnimius, but, you know, a person's be flexible.
You don't blow Schaefer on the first day sometimes,
right.
But the second day you always.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that?
It's also ironic because the first day of Rosh Hashanah originally was a Friday, and the second day is Shabbos, and then that can never happen anymore, right? The first day sometimes Shabbos, and the second day can be, but it never happens. Yes, it's for Torah.
The Rav is getting into a topic that needs a couple of months, right? How do you deal with takanas of the past?
You're getting into that topic.
I've been working on it for a couple hundred years.
Listen, part of the conflict with our generation is that I've mentioned this before, but we exist on two levels. We exist as individuals and as Klal Yisrael. Both individually and Klal Yisrael have to go through this process of filling your belly with meat and wine, and then, you know, chitzainis and then pinis. But the problem is that Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael's been here for a while, so Klal Yisrael's holding you ready by the second part of Pnimius. But every individual person coming into the world, so you're coming into the world part of a collective entity that's already holding in stage two. But when you come in the world as an individual, you have to start with stage one. In the earlier generations, this wasn't a conflict because there was no Meichen of Knesset Yisrael because it was too far from Mashiach. But now that there is a Meichen of Knesset Yisrael. So you have this conflict that every person, as part of Klal Yisrael, feels an atiyah to Pnimius already, but as an individual, you still have to fill your belly with basar v'yayin. So it becomes, I'm not giving an etzah, but I'm saying it becomes more complicated. So, you know, I have to give a little bit of both to everybody. Okay, that's Hashem. We'll hear good things.